In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Today we celebrate the Feast of the Portiuncula, which enables us to gain this plenary indulgence for ourselves and also for the poor souls as many times as we do the required works. This indulgence was gained for us by Saint Francis. And we are told that he was spending the night in prayer, really in tears, bewailing the terrible fact that so many souls are lost, so many souls are sent to the flames of hell. These souls that were made to know God, to love him and to serve him so that they can be happy with him in heaven, are forever lost from God. They're forever lost from their own happiness. And if you've ever had this sense of extreme sadness overcome you when you see this something that is being lost and there's nothing you can do about it, you have a sense of the sadness that brought the tears to the eyes of Saint Francis. And in these humble prayers in the night, before our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, in the little chapel of the Portiuncula. The Portiuncula means a little portion. It was a church was given to Saint Francis for his use. It was dedicated, this little portion was dedicated to Our Lady of the Angels. And it was in this little chapel that he is praying that our Blessed Mother and our Lord appeared to him. And promised, our Lord promised to give him anything that he asked. And what was weighing heavy on his mind and his heart was the loss of so many souls. And so he asked that those who make a good confession and visit this chapel should be absolved of all their sins, but that even more, he wished that they should be restored to their baptismal innocence, that they should receive this plenary indulgence. And our Lord told Saint Francis, you ask a lot, but because you love me so, I will give you what you ask. And he sent him to see the Pope to approve this. And the Pope approved it, and so now we can gain this indulgence. But what I would like to speak to you today, because today is actually the title of the feast, is the dedication of the Basilica of the Portiuncula, the dedication of the church. And this dedication of a church focuses my attention upon what is this church? And again, I'm using church, referring to the building, not to the mystical body of Christ. I will get to that later, but right now, what is this physical structure that we call a church? This building, this place where we come and worship. We are told it is the house of God. We learned in our catechism that Christ is truly present in our tabernacle. He's there, hidden under the appearances of bread. He's there, true God, true man, body, blood, soul, and divinity. God is truly present here. And I see that there are basically two attitudes that people bring when they come to church. There are those who are completely indifferent, who think this is nothing more than just a building, and we can go and pray in any building. There's no need for me to come here. And they do not yet comprehend that this is truly the house of God. They don't understand, as Saint Francis did, that he is truly in the presence of God. And then we have the other extreme of those who come to church, and it is as if they were entering a funeral home, a morgue. There is this oppressive silence. There is this fear. I don't know why people are afraid in funeral homes. I guess they're afraid of dying. They know they'll be there one day. But there's this silence. And they come. Yes, they show proper reverence and decorum. And they pray to God. But it is as if they're praying to a dead Christ. we see our Lord hanging upon the cross. And it is as if we're in the presence of a corpse. And we're showing our last respects to this corpse. And this is not what our Lord desires either. And of course, there are those who think that this building is just a meeting place. They come from the conclusion of the doctrine that we are members of the mystical body of Christ. Christ lives and dwells within us, at least the members of the church. And what we do to one another, we do to Christ. And so we consider in coming together, or these individuals consider in coming together in this building, that this is the church, and we see Christ in one another. And they too have missed the point. They've gone to an extreme. And as always, you've heard me say so many times, virtue is in the middle. The house of God, this church, is not a morgue. It's not a funeral home. We're not visiting a corpse. We are in the presence of the living God. Christ is alive. St. Francis knew this as he prayed in that humble little chapel, the Porciuncola. He knew he was in the presence of God, the living God, not a relic. He's not in the presence of a corpse, but he's in the presence of true God. The living God. And so his prayer, I think, took on an efficacy. Do you know what efficacy means?
No.
Yes? Oh my goodness. You're smarter than I thought. Efficacy. It takes on this power to change, to transform. Because this prayer is a prayer to God, and God can do all things. And I think that all that respect that we see in the saints and everything has been misinterpreted. And we somehow have forgotten that Christ is alive. He's not a corpse, he's not just a body. He's alive there. We can talk to him and he can talk to us. He desires us to come and speak to him. But yet you say, why does my mother tell me we're not allowed to talk in church? Why is there this quiet? Why is there this ambience of silence? Why? If Christ wants us to come and speak to him, if he wants us to share our lives with him, why this atmosphere? Why is this created? And it's not because we're in a morgue, as I say, we're not in a cemetery, we're not in a funeral parlor. This silence, this reverence, this quiet, it's because we are in the presence of something sacred. We are in the presence of God himself. And it is humbling. And there is nothing really that we can say. We are in the presence of the King of Kings. And so our attitude is one of humility, of bowing our heads reverently before our Lord, acknowledging he is present here as we genuflect, as we make the sign of the cross. And too often our children have forgotten or never really understood why they genuflect. They know, before I get in the pew, I genuflect. When I get out of the pew, I genuflect. They were taught this, and this is a good thing for them. But I have seen children get out of the pew with their facing the door and genuflect to the door. They don't know why they're genuflecting. Or sideways. That genuflection is an act of reverence, respect to our Lord in the tabernacle. When we genuflect, we should be facing our Lord in the tabernacle. It is an acknowledgement that we are in the presence of God Himself. That we are in the presence of our Creator, our Redeemer. And we bow the knee. We bend the knee before Him. It is our way of saying hello in all humility. Not just of a worldly king, but in the King of Heaven. We've come into this church. It is heaven because God resides here. And He remains hidden in our tabernacle, night and day, awaiting for us to come to Him, to adore Him, to love Him. And sadly, that love is an unrequited love. It's not answered. It's not responded to. We go about our week, our day, completely forgetful of God in His presence. And sadly, on Sundays, many come to church. They enter the house of God. They genuflect without giving it a second thought. Why? They enter their pew, they whisper to one another. They're anxious, they're bored, they can't wait until Bishop stops speaking so this Mass can go on and we can get out of here. We want to look out the window, see what's going on outside, and we have no concept of where we are or why we are here. It has completely left us. And today's feast gives me the opportunity to remind us. We are in the presence of God. We are in the house of God. And yes, Christ wants us to come and speak to Him from the depths of our hearts. But our own sinfulness, our own unworthiness demands that we do so with the greatest hesitation, with the greatest reverence, with the greatest respect, with the greatest awe. And so we come with our heads bowed. We come and bend our knee before Him. And in the quiet, we pour out our hearts to Him and await His aid, His help. Not just imaginary faith or imaginary hope in His help, but with true confidence that God is not only able, but will come to our aid. He will give us all the grace we need in our daily life. Our Lord once rebuked the apostles. You haven't received because you haven't asked. Ask and you shall receive. How many of us can say that we have truly asked? How many of us have entered the chapel and prayed as St. Francis prayed? Knowing, understanding that we are truly in the presence of God. It's time for us to stir up, to reignite that faith, that understanding, those truths of where we really are. And in doing so, we can avoid the extreme of imagining that this is just another building or a meeting hall where we can greet our friends. We can avoid the extreme of imagining that we are in a funeral parlor in the presence of a corpse. a dead body. And we can truly understand that we have come into the presence of God, into His house, not only to hear His words preached to us, but to receive Him in Holy Communion, to receive not just the body of Christ, but the living body of Christ. Not a corpse, but God Himself wishes to come into our hearts in Holy Communion, to be one with us. And this too is greatly humbling to us. And so we have this proper decorum, this proper silence, this awe, this respect. And I mentioned, I speak all of these things about this physical building, about our Christ, our Lord's true presence in the Holy Eucharist, there on our altar inside the tabernacle. But there is a church with the capital C, which is not a physical building. It is our own bodies. As we are told, our bodies are temples of the Holy Ghost. Our bodies are little churches. And our bodies are even more sacred than this physical church. I'm not by any way trying to undermine your appreciation for this sacredness of this building, that this building is the house of God, that it is the entrance, the gates to heaven. But there is a building that is more sacred to God, more holy to God, more pleasing to God, and that is your very bodies. Your bodies were made in the image and likeness of God. They are meant to be the house of God. Our Lord comes to us in Holy Communion to dwell in this body of yours. And He wants not just to come there in Holy Communion, but He wants to remain there, to live there and not be driven out. And for the saints, they received Holy Communion and immediately began thinking of the next time that they can receive Holy Communion. In great anticipation, they sought always to keep their bodies pure and undefiled, a worthy temple of God. If you were to come into this chapel, dancing and singing and cracking jokes, I would ask you to leave. I would probably have you escorted out. I would scold you and say, "Do you not realize you are in the house of God? This is not just some building." And I likewise will scold you if you go out into this world forgetting that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost and you indulge in all kinds of evil. You desecrate not the physical house of God, but you desecrate your own bodies. Those bodies which are created in the image and likeness of God, those bodies that are supposed to be one with Christ. And this, I believe, should be sufficient to bring tears to our eyes, as it did to St. Francis's. And so we should come back to this physical, material church, made by human hands, and beg our Lord once more to forgive us, to wash away the stain that resides in this body of ours, which was created by Him, not by human hands, but by God, that was made in His image and likeness. We come and ask our Lord to wash this temple of ours once more, to cleanse it, to purify it, to make it once more his worthy abode and ask him to enter once again. And with profound humility, profound repentance, regret, we form a firm purpose of amendment. Lord, once more enter me. Once more come and stay with me. And I will do my best with your help to keep this body a worthy temple for you. Yes, when we examine our lives, our consciences, we look at this body which we have defiled by sin so many times, we see that it is nothing but a filthy stable, not worthy to be the house of God. But as I say so often at Christmas time, during the Advent season, yes, our bodies are unfit temples of God. They are truly filthy stables. But if we will humble ourselves, if we will repent, our Lord will enter there, and that humble stable will become something special, something sacred, something worthy of honor, not because of anything we have done, but simply because Christ has entered it. And our bodies can once more become truly the living house of God. Not just a material structure, but a living structure where Christ is alive within us. And as you seek to gain this plenary indulgence today, to put your bodies, your souls back in that state of the innocence it once received at baptism, I ask you to ponder these things and to resolve not to chase our Lord out anymore, not to defile this body of yours anymore. And if you do have the misfortune to fall, to get up, brush yourself off, and come humbly once more into the house of God. Bow your head and say, Lord, I need you. I can't do this without you. Please forgive me again. Make my body once more your holy and sacred temple. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendit super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.